Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to L&B Passage to Empowerment. As normal, you have the three of us, Lydia, Nina, that's me, and Brenda online. Lydia is our doctor of love. Say hello, Lydia.
Hey, how you doing?
And my name is Nina. And I'm a Reiki master and instructor. And Brenda is our soon-to-be doctor of psychology. Say hello, Brenda.
Hello.
Oh, that was energetic.
Yeah, wasn't it though?
Yeah. I think we all need to send some energy towards our poor Brenda.
Yeah. I'm not poor. Don't put that curse on
okay.
me.
Okay,
oh,
we'll
no.
towards the sleepy Brenda.
Yeah, in that sense, yes, sorry. Sleepy meaning, yeah, okay. She is very sleepy.
I'm with y'all. I'm going to get some coffee and I'm going to get my burning food off the thing. So I'm good. I'm here. I'm in the studio.
Alrighty. All right. Tonight we will be interviewing the team from Wolf Paranormal Investigations. They are from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. The team members' names are Holly, Robin, Trevor, Michelle, and Megan, and Shay, who is out ill tonight. Wish you were going to be here, Shay. Sorry about that. Okay, you ladies, got anything to say?
We'll send you some healing, Shay. We're sending you healing energy.
Yeah, we are.
We sure are. Okay, are we going to open up the lines?
Yeah. Bring them on over.
No, we're
going
to interview.
Yeah,
all right.
No, we're going to interview.
They're on the line.
They're on the line.
Oh, okay.
Hello.
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 How are you this evening?
Great.
That's good.
How
have
you
got everybody there with you, Holly?
Yes.
All righty.
I have Michelle and Robin in the living room, and I'm, because they have laptops, I don't. And mm-hmm. I'm in my office, so when you're going to talk to them, let me know so I can hand the phone over to them.
You have an agenda, don't you?
No.
Well, I did send you one. Come on, girlfriend.
You did, and I don't have it in front of me.
All right.
That's
okay.
Yeah, because what we'll do is we're going to take turns, Nina and I, and Brenda will chime in when she feels like it. And I will direct a question because one thing we found with the three of us is if we're talking over each other, it just doesn't work.
Right.
Okay, Holly? Okay. So I have a first question, and that is directed to you, Holly, and that is, why did you decide to become a paranormal investigator?
Oh, well, that's easy, because I've had experiences off and on through my whole life, and so I know there's something out there.
Awesome.
And I figure if I know there's something out there, then other people must know there's something out there, too.
Great. And the same question to Robin, why did you decide to become a paranormal investigator? Hi, Robin.
Hi. And the same question to Robin,
yes.
Why did you decide to become a paranormal investigator?
I'm more of the skeptic, and I'm the debunker. So I, hello?
Okay, you guys are going to have to turn down the background because we're getting feedback on the radio here.
And there's also a delay.
Yeah, there is a delay. She's just dropping her sound. Okay, hang on.
Okay.
Sorry about that. So I had, I was always interested in the paranormal, and I wanted to see if there was anything to it or if I could debunk things. And I found throughout my time doing this that there is a lot I can debunk, but there is a lot that I can't. So it's always exciting for me when I can't debunk it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to ask you, has it made you more of a believer then? I mean, you're still in the skeptic area, but are you still knowing that there are some paranormal activity that cannot be explained?
Well, that's the exciting part, is when I can't explain it. I do go to great lengths, and a lot of my team mates don't like it when I can debunk things. It's still, even being a skeptic, when I can't debunk it, I still deep down inside think that there has to be another reason. But sometimes I just have to go, you know what, I can't come up with a reason, and maybe there is something to this paranormal.
Cool. Good. Very good. I'm glad we're making, I think it's great to have that person that will balance the people that really believe, with a little bit of skepticism. I think that's always good. Is Trevor still with us?
No, I think he hung up.
Okay, well then that's all I'm going to ask on that one. And Nina, you get the next question.
And these questions will be directed to Michelle and Megan.
Okay,
first off,
well,
to Michelle.
I'll hand you over to Michelle.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hello, how are you tonight?
I'm good, thanks, Michelle. How are you?
I'm not too bad.
Awesome.
Excellent.
Okay. Our first question is, there are other paranormal teams out there. What motivated you to join Wolf Paranormal?
I actually went and investigated what Wolf Paranormal was all about before I decided to join them, and it was just a feel. And I'm one of those people that go on energy, and just when I met Robin and I met Holly, the energy with those two ladies is what brought me into being a paranormal investigator for Wolf Paranormal.
Awesome. Thank you.
It looks like Trevor's joined. I'm going to unmute him, Nina, and you
all
can
right.
ask him to eventually.
Okay.
Okay.
Megan.
Just one moment.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hi, Megan. How
Hi.
Are you tonight?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks. How are you?
I'm great. Okay, my question to you. There are other paranormal teams out there. What motivated you to join Wolf Paranormal?
Mostly just my meeting with Robin and Holly. They had a lot to say that I agreed with, and I don't know, I just like the feel of Wolf Paranormal.
Awesome,
cool.
Thank you. Lydia, did you want to ask Trevor that question?
Why don't you ask him why you've joined the team? Hi, Trevor.
Hello, how are you doing?
Excellent.
Great, how are you?
I am doing fantastic, thank you.
Oh, that's great. I have a question for you. Why did
Already?
You decide to become? Why did you decide to become a paranormal investigator?
Well, I myself have had a number of experiences that I'm convinced are paranormal, but I want to be able to prove it. Like my word, a person's word to me is really not worth all that much. I'd like to have hard proof so I can show it to people and say there it's undeniable. Rather than just listening to stories, and everybody has the granddad or uncle who has some crazy story about a ghost they saw or a specter that chased them down the street or whatever. But unless you can actually give some tangible proof, it really is just a story, and that's why I'm doing it, to get some proof.
Cool.
Good. Well, I like that.
Yeah,
right
me too.
On.
I have some stories, but, I have no proof. Although I have it corroborated in one instance, but This is Lydia Trevor, and I wanted to ask, have you had unexplained experiences in your own life, which you just answered pretty much? Did you want to explain maybe one of those experiences?
Well, I think the most recent thing that's ever happened is in my current home. I was in my basement, and I was down resetting a router for the Internet, and I turned around, and as I walked back towards to go up in my basement, a large black figure came right towards me. It was probably about 7 feet tall, and it was completely black. I guess now I've learned they're called the shadow people, or that's people what they tend to call them. Anyhow, it came right towards me, stopped about, I don't know, 10 inches away from me, and then it veered off and just went directly through my wall and disappeared. And I kind of kept that to myself. I've had many experiences in the past that were somewhat similar to that, but my children, one of my sons has also seen the same thing in the house upstairs with a large spirit-like thing that he saw. When he was brushing his teeth, he turned around and he sort of freaked out. And those are the most recent things that have happened.
Wow. How about for Megan? Megan, have you had unexplained experiences in your own life?
Yeah, absolutely. From the time that I was a small child. When I was little, I swear that there was a voice that I could always hear coming from the corner of my bedroom calling my name. And I could hear footsteps. My mom always believed me because I was just, like, unbelievably afraid of this. Also, I've had experiences of being bored. I really don't take horror evidence in paranormal, but I saw this probably 8-inch by 8-inch diameter orb go, like, bounce down my hallway from one house that I lived in, and I've had multiple experiences. Paranormal.
Ah, and how about Robin? Do you have any experiences in your own life?
Hello?
Is this Robin?
Yes.
Yeah, have you had any unexplained experiences in your own life besides your investigation?
No, not from before Wolf Paranormal. I mean, I had talked to people who had. I had always been interested in it and always hoped to have something happen, but in my own life, I never really did. I can say that since I have been with Wolf Paranormal and have done investigations, I have come across a few things that I have not been able to explain or debunk. So if they were paranormal, I guess you could say that they were in the aspect that they weren't normal and they weren't I wasn't able to debunk them. But like I said, we still haven't found the Holy Grail yet, which all paranormal investigators are after. So, you know, all we can do is just keep trying and hopefully come across something that is, you know, we can bring to the table and say, you know, this really happened.
Yeah. Cool.
Thanks. This is Brenda.
Hi.
So, Robin, you're bringing up a great point that I suspect a lot of people kind of wonder about. Why do the investigation? And when you talk about the Holy Grail, that would be what? Because as you're saying, and as Trevor has said, and the others, that there's an experience that's going on. It's not, quote-unquote, natural. It's supernatural. So, to me, what would the Holy Grail be? And is that, in and of itself, enough for what you're all doing? Or is it how you help others in some way?
Well, we definitely do this to help others. Like I said, a lot of the stuff that we do come across can be debunked. And once we give them the knowledge, you know, a lot of our clients are just afraid for the very fact that they don't know what's going on. And if we can come up to them and say, you know, this is a possibility of what's happening, whether it be a case of high EMF and sensitivity to that, or if there is other things that are occurring, you know, it gives them a peace of mind. And even sometimes when we can't explain it right out and say this is what it is, just by listening to them, believing in them, because that's the biggest thing, is a lot of our clients, nobody believes them. And just giving them some of the power back, we find that that is sometimes all they need, is to have that knowledge and to have that power to take their homes and their lives back.
Mm-hmm. That's brilliant. And that's what we're
thank
all about.
Thank you, Robin.
Yeah, thank you. That's awesome.
Robin,
thank
one
you.
Thing. Robin, one more thing, and that is, what's the EMF? I know, but for everybody else.
It's when everything that's electronic puts out EMF, so any of your electronics, and especially nowadays with all the cell phone towers, with everyone sitting in front of their computers, with the cell phones, the clock radios, we're constantly bombarded by the EMF that's coming off of all of our electronics. Some people do have a sensitivity to this, and it can manifest itself in a lot of different ways, not only physically, which rashes, nausea, headaches, but also mentally, where you have feelings of being watched, or, you know, things like that. So just to empower them and let people know that, you know, try turning some of these devices off. Remove your clock radio and your cell phone and all those electronics from next to your head when you're sleeping. And a lot of times it does help.
Yeah, so EMF stands for electrical magnetic field, just for
correct.
Those who not ever know. Okay. Sorry, Nina.
All right, thank you. That's all right. My next question is going to be for Holly, Trevor, and Megan. And Trevor, since you are on the line already, I will start with you.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yep.
All right. What do you consider undeniable proof that a ghost exists?
Well, I think that's a tough question, but for now it would be to get something on videotape and get some audio that collaborates, the same, you know, because we use both audio and video together, that sort of thing, as well as having other people view it at the same time. So like two or three of us seeing something and catching it on tape and getting some sort of an audio track as well wouldn't necessarily be undeniable, but it would be a good start. Ultimately, in the end, what I'd like to be able to do is figure out a way, once you start figuring out where these things are, maybe we can start to communicate with them. At that point, then it could be more undeniable. We can know that at a certain time you can go and you can actually communicate with these other beings or whatever they are, and they can communicate back in an intelligent way, and then that would be what we're looking for, because it could be so many different things. It may be people that have passed on. It may be interdimensional beings. I mean, it could be so many different things. So that's kind of what I'm looking for.
Oh, thank you. All right, mm-hmm. Holly, are you ready?
I'm here.
Okay. Now, what do you consider undeniable proof that ghosts exist?
Actually, I would have to go along with what Trevor said about that. Undeniable proof to me would be capturing it on film and having audio evidence to back that up. Anything visual would be that cannot be duplicated, cannot be replicated no matter how many times you try, has no possible explanation. That, for me, would be absolutely undeniable proof that there is something out there.
Okay. Have you captured something on film?
I would love to be able to say yes, but no.
Okay. But how about audio then?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We have captured some what I like to call vocal anomalies. I'm not necessarily saying they're EVPs because we don't know what they are sometimes. So I just call them vocal anomalies. They are voices that are there and shouldn't be there.
Okay.
And we have caught several.
What does EVP stand for?
Electronic voice phenomena.
Uh-huh.
It's what happens when a ghost or spirit leaves a vocal imprint on a voice recorder.
Wow.
However they're able to manipulate that, I'm really not sure. I just don't know. But they can somehow manipulate things. Maybe they use the white noise that's inside of each digital recorder, because it's all computer chips and stuff and fun stuff and whatever, right? But I think they use that. There's a certain amount of white noise or static, and I think they use that to leave an imprint that we interpret as an EVP, because it usually there's words or a phrase or something that we identify as words.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome.
Megan.
Oh, hang on. And I'll... I'm running from room to room here.
That's good. Get your exercise.
Hi.
Hi, Megan. Do you have any undeniable proof that ghosts exist besides what Trevor and Holly have already said?
No, I don't. I wish that I did, but I definitely don't have any undeniable proof. I am a definite believer, but yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Excellent. So now I have a question, and that is I'm going to ask it to everybody. I'll start with Megan while you're there with the phone. I'll start with you. What do you do when you're not investigating?
What do I do when I'm not investigating? I'm a bus driver for a living, and I have two little kids, and I practice Wicca.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Very interesting. Cool. You're very busy.
I am, extremely.
You said little kids. What are their ages?
I have 4-year-old twin daughters.
Oh, that's a great
name. No kidding. Wow.
Oh, very nice. Okay, so now I'm going to ask of Michelle if you want to hand her the phone.
Absolutely.
And it's the...
Hello.
Hi, Michelle. This is kind of interesting. We've never done such a big, well, we've never done whatever this is.
An interview.
We've never done an interview. That word lost, went out of my head. We've never done an interview before, and we've never done one with so many people. But what I'm asking right now is, what do you do when you're not investigating?
I actually have my own psychic medium business. And I'm also a bus driver for Calgary Transit.
Oh. So what is your psychic medium business? I'm very curious. Do you have a name and you want to give it a plug, a website?
Actually, while I'm doing this, I'm with Wolf Paranormal, so I like to keep the two of them separate.
Okay.
All right. But if you would like to get a hold of me, it's Michelle's Love Light and the Other Side.
All right. Cool. That's nice, Michelle. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Michelle.
So you're quite busy, too. Okay, so Trevor, what do you do when you're not investigating?
Well, when I'm not investigating, I'm a full-time stalker. No, just kidding. no, I'm business development for a communications company. We install voice and data cabling, fiber optics, that sort of thing. And so I really don't do all that much.
Yeah, you don't ever do that much. Yeah, I'm sure you don't. That's funny. Okay, next question. This question, again, for Robin. Robin?
Robin. Yes?
Hey, Robin, what do you do when you're not investigating?
When I'm not investigating, I'm actually a wood finisher, so I do staining and spraying of furniture and anything wood.
Nice. I love working with my hands. I'm a potter when I'm not on the radio.
Right.
So I work with clay. I really love that. Well, good. And then the same question for Holly.
Oh,
Oh, hold on. I'll have to run to Holly.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's all right.
Holly, hang
on. Really, Holly needs more phones.
No, I have more phones, but they don't. It's stupid. I have three phones, but only one of them can be in use at a time.
Oh, nice.
I can't have the other two going. It's just stupid. Anyway.
It's all right. Holly, what do you do when you're not investigating?
When I'm not investigating, can I lie?
No.
When I'm not investigating.
Yes, you can. I do it all the time, and it doesn't hurt me a bit.
No, when I'm not investigating, I am working with my dog. I'm training her. I'm starting a basic obedience business, and I like to play Royal Story on Facebook.
And the obedience thing is for her
that.
Husband, not her dog.
Hey, I was going to ask. I was going to ask if I could hire her for my son.
Hey, you know what? It's amazing how well certain things work. Just ask Robin about what I did to her when we first got Glimmer.
You guys are laughing, but one of my friends in college, that's what her mom gave her when she got married, was a dog training book. And it helped their marriage.
Nice.
That's awesome.
As long as the reward, as long as you remember, rewards work really well.
Yes, they do.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, they do.
All right,
not
Holly,
always
while
give food rewards.
Holly, while I have you on the phone, I am going to, while this will be going out to all of you, what is your role on the team and what special gift do you bring to the team?
Who do you want to start with?
With you, Holly.
Oh, okay. I am the founder of Wolf Paranormal and lead investigator. I bring knowledge. I bring my own personal experiences. I bring a burning, driving desire to learn as much as I possibly can because I really want to know what's out there. And I want to be able to answer that ultimate question, where we go when we die. And I just bring me to the whole thing, really, and hope that everybody else is okay with it.
Too bad if they're not, eh?
I know, right? So who are you going to talk to next?
Robin.
Okay, hang on.
Hi, Robin.
Hi.
What is your role on the team, and what special gift do you bring to the team?
Well, I'm the webmaster. I'm the one who built the website, and I keep that up and running as best I can. And I'm also the debunker. So I'm the one who tries to figure out the real reason behind things that happen in this world, hopefully. So I do any of the research that comes with trying to debunk things. I also do all of the thinking. When we do our evidence review, we not only listen to the tapes, but we sync them up with our video, and that has been invaluable in order to debunk a lot of the things that we think we have. So if we hear something on the voice recorder, which we think could be an EVP, a lot of times I can debunk it by just syncing it up to our video and seeing that it's actually something that's happening in the real world. So that's pretty well what I do. I'm the skeptic and the one who more or less crushes everyone's dreams and hopes.
Well, you have to be honest in this, though.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, one of the worst things is when I have to debunk my own things. I'll do evidence review and I'll come across thing, and the more I dig into it, when I debunk my own stuff, then I get a little taste of how the rest of the team feels when they bring things to the table and I have to watch them.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you very much, Robin.
Got to do it.
Pardon me?
It's a dirty job, but somebody's got to do it.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
good cop, bad cop.
Yep, yep. And like I had told Holly before, I always felt like I was the bad cop, but that's not necessarily true. If I go to a client and they really don't want to have ghosts, and I can say, well, you don't, you have a faulty furnace, then I actually am not the bad cop, I'm the good cop.
Yay! So you can switch hats. Good work.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Trevor, same question.
Well, I'm a lead investigator and case manager, so I deal with some of the clients and stuff. Actually, Holly does more of that than anyone, but I'm slowly getting into that role. And I think what I bring to the team is the ability to talk to people. I can communicate with people if things get out of control. I can usually get people back on track. I've been talking to people for a long time, so I'm used to that sort of thing. And I'm a debunker because I really want to find, like I said, tangible proof, so I want to knock everything else out of the way. Even if it looks like good proof, but if it isn't solid, I'm not interested in even calling it proof because I want to get, you know, good, solid evidence. And that's kind of what I'm going for, and I think that's it's been valuable so we don't end up putting up junky evidence like a lot of things you hear and see from people. That's kind of my role.
Oh, awesome.
Thank
you, Trevor.
And I think, Trevor, that's one of the things, what you were saying earlier made me think about how important that is for your team to have the balance of Robin. And,
yeah,
and
absolutely.
Yeah, the other members to like, well, wait a minute, is that or is that not? Because then there's the other aspect as, I believe, is it Michelle that's Wiccan? And then Holly's got the psychic stuff. So when you have all those different elements, to me, it gives you a more holistic view of what's really going on.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that it's awesome that you guys have the makeup that you have so far, and I'll let Nina go back to what she was doing. But
thank you, Brenda.
Thank you for your candid humor, too, Trevor. All of you, actually. It's
well, I find myself
nice,
brilliant. I'm not sure
really
everyone else.
Holding back.
Right.
Do I have Michelle on the line yet?
Hello?
Michelle is
next. Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
What is your role on the team, and what special gift do you bring to the team?
I'm special services, and what I do is before they go out on location, they actually meet with the clients first, and I'm not told anything. What I do is I do a distant reading on what the information I'm getting from spirit or from the location, or from any of the energy that I'm getting from the place we will be investigating. Sometimes I find nothing. I feel nothing at all. And then when we go out to the location, we realize that there really isn't anything there, and nothing's come up. I also go into the building, and I tell the team what I'm feeling, what I'm sensing, and if it matches an EVP recording or if it matches some sort of sound, we use it as evidence.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Very good. I like that. Okay, Megan's up next.
Okay, just one moment. Hi.
Hi, Megan. Okay, what is your role on the team and what special gift do you bring to the team?
My role on the team is an investigator. I don't know that I necessarily bring anything very special to the team. I have, you know, mild intuition that I'm trying to build upon, and I have a knowledge of the occult and, of course, of Wicca, which is helpful sometimes. But, aside from my burning desire to find evidence, that's pretty much it.
Well, that's a pretty special gift right in itself.
I've got a hit on Megan, and that is I believe that you bring a lot of, like, nurturing energy to the group. I could be wrong about that. But I definitely feel the nurturing role, and, you know, it's a good, maybe there's a few nurturers, but I feel that from you.
Definitely. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So own it, girlfriend. Megan has to own it. Oh, yeah.
I will.
In teams, you always bring something. Each of you brings something. You guys are hooked together, and you are mirroring each other. And so even the good and the bad, you know, you're gonna learn from each other all the time.
Well, Holly says, Megan brings a desire to find answers and to use a variety of methods and tools to help find those answers.
Yeah, Michelle, I mean, Megan, you need to own a little bit more. That's, you know, you are absolutely awesome. Just wanted you to know. Okay, so now it's my question, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so my question is going to be for Holly, so we can bring the phone in to Holly. And I wanted to ask her when she gets on the phone. Hi.
Hi.
Okay,
room to room here.
I'm telling you, this is not only a radio show, but you can get your exercise in also.
I was just thinking that.
Oh,
yeah,
how did I know? Okay.
Yeah.
Holly. So,
yeah.
Holly, does your paranormal work spill over into other areas of your life?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I'm guessing.
It can't help but. I mean, when you start to become a paranormal investigator, whether you are naturally skeptical or whether you are intuitive, actually doesn't really matter, because along the way, you start to kind of develop a bit of a sixth sense. Like, you start to become more aware of your surroundings, you start to become more aware of energy and how it feels. Like, you just become aware of so many different things, and that affects your entire life.
Yeah.
I know for me personally, it has helped me to gauge different situations much better than I used to be able to. I mean, I can usually read somebody fairly well, you know, whether I want to be around them or not, but because of the work that I do, I'm better at that than I was before, because I'm more in tune with that. And I think it's like that for all of us. I know Robin is very skeptical. Like, she's a skeptic all the way. But even she is becoming more in tune with her environment when we're out on an investigation, whether we're outdoors or whether we're with a client. She's much more attuned and aware, so she's got that sense going on. And that cannot help but affect other aspects of her life, my life, everybody's life.
Well, it really sounds like Wolf Paranormal has empowered you guys in a lot of ways, ways you might not have thought of.
Well, I can't speak for my team, but I can
speak for yourself.
that having Robin, Michelle, and Trevor, and Shay, and Megan as a part of this adventure has enriched my life in so many ways I can't even tell you. I've become much more confident in myself. I don't doubt myself so much, which I was really bad for. And I've developed even a bit of a sense of humor, which used to really be lacking. Like, I was always very, very serious all the time. Like, it's all serious all the time. And because I have such wonderful people to work with, they all help me to just lighten up a little bit, and they just, you know, just relax, enjoy it, kind of, you know. And a lot of times I find myself following their lead rather than taking the lead, because I just love the way they work, and I learn so much. Like, this team, we would not be where we are without these specific people, and I just love them. They rock.
And so do you, Holly. You rock too.
Yeah,
I just wanted you to know that. Most definitely.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that you've gotten more confidence. I find that I'm actually more confident in some of my abilities hanging out with Brenda and Nina, because they are both very psychic, and I've had that all my life. However, I didn't trust it. And hanging out with them has definitely empowered me to you know, to tell it like it is.
Yes.
You know, to express what I'm feeling, and I've actually been proven right with both of them, and you know, they were on it too, or they, you know, it was about them or someone they knew, and it came true too. So
yes.
The next, that same question I'm going to ask Robin.
Okay, hang on.
So run.
Run, run,
get your exercise.
Hello.
What I wanted to say, also tagging on with what Holly said, just to tag back to what Trevor said, as he was talking about the shadow people in his life, and I know that Lennis, who's in the chat room, can speak to this as well as myself, and I know for sure with Nina that
yeah.
The more you're involved with this part of your senses, you do draw attention from the other side. So I'm not surprised that Trevor has a shadow person pop into his life and near his family, and I believe that probably everyone on the team, even the ones that may not be as aware, there's probably a lot more spirits around you because you're almost like a voice, and it gives them a chance to communicate in an arena that it may not always be as easy for them to communicate, because most people deaden that sense about them. You know, we're told, there's all kinds of different ways to describe it that has nothing to do with the truth. You know, it's your imagination, you're crazy, blah, 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 which is why I like how Robin and the others have expressed that they're there to help empower people and to not feeling like they're crazy
mm-hmm.
and that they're idiots or whatever.
Well, that's
so, yeah.
One of the first things we always hear from our client, and it comes from almost every single client, the first thing we always hear out of their mouth is, you're going to think I'm crazy, but. And we always say the same thing to them. It's like, well, if you're crazy, what are we? We're out there looking for it. And right away that puts them at ease to know that we're not going to think you're crazy. We're looking for it. We're going to try and find the answers for you, and we're going to do the best that we can to do that. And that's not to say that we can explain everything that comes our way, but even if we can't explain them, we do offer them other tools and other ways to deal with it. And more or less, once they know that they have the power to take back their lives, it makes a very big difference in our clients, and you know, we often hear back from them with them telling us, you know, thank you for what you've done. They're not afraid anymore. It's not so scary, because a lot of the things that do happen to these people, there's knocks and there may be voices, and they're very terrified at the beginning, but once you say to them, well, there's no harm. You're not being harmed. It's a noise. And, you know, they can kind of step back and look at it from a different point of view and say, well, you know, yeah, it's really not that scary.
Although the scary thing, I think, would be getting the furnace bill, right, Nina?
Oh, yeah.
But, Robin, does your paranormal work spill over into other areas of your life now?
Not really. I mean, my paranormal, with me being the debunker, I do a lot of research on things, and I learn new things all the time that has, I call it useless knowledge, but it, one of our cases was flies in the wintertime. They had flies in their house, and we found out that, you know, just by doing research, I find out that there are flies, and they're called cluster flies, and they live in your house. And because of our weather here in Calgary, we get Chinooks, and that causes them to come out in the middle of winter. It tricks them into thinking it's spring. And, you know, things I would never have learned beforehand.
mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
So a lot of useless knowledge that I learn.
Well, but it's useful to help people. Like
right, exactly. Yes, exactly.
Where they're seeing a cluster of flies and they're like going, oh, my God, it's a dead, you know, something's going on here.
Right,
so
right. And when we brought that to them and they went and they checked in the attic and sure enough, that's what it was. So, you know, it was a big relief to them.
Yeah. So that, I don't know if that would be useless in my book, so, you know, feel good about that. But I'm going to ask Trevor that same question, and that is, how does paranormal work spill over in your life?
For me, it doesn't generally spill over that much because my wife isn't a big fan of, I mean, she's a fan of the TV shows and such, but she, the last thing she'd want to know is if there's something in the house or what have you, and my youngest son and stuff. So I kind of keep it very, this is what I do in my own time, and everything else is just family-related. If something, you know, comes up and somebody's afraid of something or whatever, I'll go ahead and try and figure it out with them. But overall, it doesn't spill over.
All right. Cool. Go ahead, Nina. Your turn now.
All right. Michelle and Megan, I'm going to be asking you two questions now.
So
who's this?
Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. Have paranormal investigations affected your spirituality, and in what way?
It has enhanced it. Because I'm spiritual normally, when we go out on location, it just reinforces it for me that there is things out there that we're unaware of, and there is something bigger than all of us.
Well, thank you.
That's
good answer. Mm-hmm. All right, Megan.
One moment. Hello.
Hi, Megan.
Hi.
Have paranormal investigations affected your spirituality, and in what way?
I don't think so. I've always been a very spiritual person. I've always been interested in the unknown and the paranormal and, like I said before, Wicca and things like that. So, yeah, I've always been a very spiritual person. I don't think that it's made much of a difference. And I think my spirituality has made a difference in me being an investigator.
Good one. Thank you.
Cool. Should I ask my other question?
Let's just open the phone lines up for a minute, please. The number is area code 646-727-2914 if you'd like to phone in and ask a question of our guests. Okay, Lydia, go ahead.
Okay, so I forgot who I have on the line right now. Is it
Megan.
Michelle? Okay.
It's Megan.
Michelle, or Megan, I'm sorry. Do you have any rituals or methods of shielding that you use before an investigation?
Yeah, absolutely. I usually try to go into a meditative state and just picture myself surrounded in the protective white light. And I sometimes will smudge myself. That's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that'll work. Definitely. How about for Robin?
One second.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Hi, Robin. Now, I know you're the skeptic of the bunch, but do you have any rituals or methods of shielding that you might use before an investigation?
No, actually, I personally don't. I guess I should rephrase that. I think of myself as a closed book. So before I go on an investigation, I just make sure that the book is closed. And I don't allow, I'm very strong, minded and very independent, and I'm more or less, I just don't allow it. I don't allow anyone to follow me home. I don't allow them to come into my personal space. You know, when I'm on an investigation, I do invite them to come forward and speak to me, or, you know, sometimes I will even say, ask them to touch or pull my hair or things like that. But I don't have any rituals. I don't carry any gems or stones or crystals. And, you know, I'm pretty closed, so I don't worry about it.
Well, and I wouldn't worry about it anyway, but because I think worry is you know, bad juju. But, you know, I like the, even the visual of the closed book, you know.
Right.
It's like, even if you're open to your friends and your teammates and your family and the people that you love, you know, the just even the visual of, like, closing a book, you know, when you're doing that. Like you said, inviting them to make their presence known, but also not being open. I think
right.
that's, I think that would be, that to me would count as a ritual. That's myself.
Right. Yes, I guess you could say that. So it is my own form of protection, but it's not like a ritual where I use anything. It's,
right.
it's just like, you know, I'm grounded, and a lot of times, too, you know, with some of the other investigators that I work with, because they're more spiritual, I will step in front of them and say, look, back away from them, leave them alone. If you have an issue, come talk to me. And so I also take on a role of a protector almost
mm-hmm.
once in a while, you know, like if they feel that they're being overwhelmed, or if that a spirit may be overstepping their boundaries, I'm the first one in there to say back away. And come
Ooh.
Talk to me.
Yeah.
But
so now we got
which is great. And all I'm saying is that spirits do come about, and I'm not saying that they necessarily attach, but sometimes there's spirits that don't understand why you aren't listening.
Right.
You know, as we, you know, that's partly what poltergeists have to do with, you know, a lot of hurt stuff. But what's good about you, Robin, is you're so stoic about it. It's like, that's, you know, that's not happening here. And it's almost like, I think that sometimes we could probably benefit from understanding that spirits aren't necessarily, let me say, sentient beings where they're just like so elevated. Some of them are just as spoiled and ridiculous as children that have been mistrained.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that you probably do quite well with the overwhelming, because you do say stop it and you're not going to do that. But it doesn't mean that they're not about. What I see near you is somebody that just keeps staring at you and trying to talk to you, but you're not responding, as if you're just ignoring them completely. And so I'm not saying that, I mean, that's why I asked Lennis, because usually I can see something and then she can sort of illuminate it a little bit for me.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so I just, you know, I think that people should know that sometimes spirits are just about, you know, it's another dimensional type thing. They're about. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to mean you any harm, even if they act up. Sometimes they just don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
So,
they just don't understand. And sometimes they're tricksters, too, because I have, in my
true.
Own self, this is Nina, I have had a trickster spirit in my house. And, yeah, this little one was just full of all kinds of little jokes and tricks he played on me constantly.
Hey,
so sometimes they're like that, too.
Yeah, recently.
Yeah.
So, but I'm giving you some real pats on the back, Robin, for staying in your role, because that will probably help out everybody that exists around you and also help out the team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have that strength.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and this is from Michelle, the same question, but I'll repeat it in case you didn't hear it.
Hello.
Hi, Michelle. Do you have any rituals or methods of shielding that you use before an investigation?
Actually, what I do before I do a remote reading or a distant reading, whatever way you want to look at it, is that I have to meditate, and I have to clear my mind, and I have to be in a
a room by myself in my home, one that is very protected, that I have actually staged myself and that I have my candles out. And I sit there and I contact with my spirit guides to give me the information so that before we go out on an investigation, I have the information there. When we do go out on an investigation, I usually have to, before we get to the place, I listen to really loud music so I can take all my energies out of it so that when I go into a location, I'm going with spirit and spirit is guiding me.
Yeah, very good. And then I'm going to have you take this back to Holly.
Okay, just one moment.
Thank you, hon.
I want to get into some questions. When are you guys going to get over? You know.
Okay. Hey, Holly. Okay.
Hey.
At least you're not out of breath. This is a good thing.
Yes.
So I just wanted to ask if you have rituals or methods of shielding that you use before an investigation.
Well, I don't know if you would consider this as a ritual or a shield or anything like that. I don't consciously sit down and do anything prior to an investigation. I just put my trust in the universe, and I just assume. I guess maybe that's not the right word, but that's the only word I can find right now. I just know everything's going to be fine. I'm going to be safe. My team is going to be safe. It's all going to be okay, and I believe that. And I don't have any reason not to, because nothing's ever happened to make me doubt that. So I guess if that's a ritual, then, or
it's, shielding. It's a form of a shield. I'd give that to you. But now Brenda has some questions.
Okay.
Okay. Well, for instance, my father passed a couple of, he passed a month ago?
Oh,
actually, it was at the very... Yeah, it's about a month ago, actually, about a month and a half ago. So,
I'm really sorry.
And I have a lot of premonitory dreams, so I had one. I didn't realize what it is. And, folks, I mean, just because you're psychic or you have or you're involved with the paranormal doesn't mean that things can be a little creepy, can't be a little creepy. So I had a nightmare. I thought it was a nightmare. And in my nightmare, my dog, the one dog that generally just sort of is cool with whoever walks in and out of here, she was watching behind me. And I was sitting in a big chair where I always sit. She's watching behind me, and she started to back up like there was something advancing from behind me, and it scared the BBs out of me because I thought somebody had gotten into the house. Now, mind you, this is a dream, and I very slowly turned to the left and looked over my shoulder, and I very slowly turned to the right and looked over my shoulder because she continued to react to whatever was back there, and I was aware now that there was nobody, and then that creeped me out because I thought she was bothered by the spirit. And I woke up just, it's scared, like I just had a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't even remember who I told about the nightmare. Then
me.
Oh, was it you? Okay. And then the night before the night that my dad died, it was like deja vu playing. All of a sudden, she looked up, and she sort of sat up like she was paying attention to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And what made me get back to the fact that that nightmare happened is I turned my head to the left, and I turned my head to the right, and I just said out loud, whoever you are, whatever spirit you are, I assume you're going to let your presence, you're going to tell me who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And she continued to watch the person sort of interact with them. She didn't bark at them, which is odd. She didn't move back like in the dream, which was good.
Yeah,
she didn't seem fearful, but then she just, after a few minutes, she put her head down and went to sleep. That was about 2 or 3 in the morning. And then the next morning, a couple hours later, I got a phone call that they said my dad had died in the middle of the night. And
And then after I talked to my siblings, my one brother couldn't sleep, and everybody was having strange experiences. So Dad said goodbye. And so here's my question after that long, long introduction is animals. Are you using animals? Are you going to bring in animals? Because they do tell us a lot. Cats are huge with the spirit world, and dogs too. My little dog, he pays attention to people all the time, and he's always letting me know when someone's upstairs, and then I start hearing the creaking of people walking up there, and there's no one here but us.
Yeah.
But he really pays attention to them. So that's what was odd with my one dog who rarely pays attention. So can you tell me about dogs in your investigation?
Yes.
Or animals.
Dogs, all animals, read energy. They can hear at a higher range than humans. They have 100,000 times better sense of smell than humans. So they can actually see, hear, taste, feel, touch what we can't. So if there is a spirit energy or ghost, whatever you want to call it, if there is somebody around, it is very likely that an animal is going to see it, hear it, feel it, whatever, right? Because it's energy, and animals are all about energy. They are more reliable than any man-made equipment we could possibly use or invent or anything. Animals are always going to be 100% accurate. We have two dogs. Robin has her dog Roscoe, and we have actually used him on an investigation that we went to, just to see how he could work with that. And he did show some pretty interesting behavior. My dog Glimmer is in training. She is being trained. I have started a canine ghost detection training testing with her. And what I do is basically I just take her out to locations that I know have some activity, and then I have a long lead on her, and we just go through them, and I monitor her behavior. Mm. And I watch for signs of anything unusual. She's 18 months old. But she is already showing, she's been showing signs for a long time that she can sense things that I can't see.
Mm-hmm.
And also,
yeah, I would think that would help focus where to put your equipment and your energy and stuff like that,
yes.
Right?
Absolutely, yes. For example, if we go to a cemetery that we know has quite a bit of activity, depending on her responses to certain areas, that is where we would put our equipment. If she is exhibiting behavior that is not normal to her, then we would be dropping our equipment right then and there and saying, okay, so let's do this, let's work with this. And then we monitor her behavior, and as we're doing our thing, and try to film it.
Smart.
And ultimately, I would like to be able to take her into more investigations. We don't take her out into client investigations yet, because she is not ready for that. But she's getting there.
Okay. Great.
I hope that answers the question.
I have some questions. That was one I wanted to ask about the animals, because I think it would be really great to have one on investigations. Do you have any more questions, Brenda?
I don't know of a lot of teams. I don't know. I personally do not know of any other teams that are actively using dogs, but I think it's a beautiful tool. I mean, what more could you possibly want than something that is 100% accurate? A dog, if you take a dog out, they can't lie. They either see something or they don't, or they hear something or they don't. If they see or hear something that we cannot sense, then their behavior is going to show that, because why can't we see it?
Right.
Right?
Right.
So I think they're the most accurate tools you could ever use. Cats are sensitive as well. My cat, Charlie, is extremely sensitive. But I can't take him out to an investigation because he's a cat. You know, and he's old.
Yeah, when I purchased a mask off eBay that was, they had documentation, and they actually had pictures from when an investigation team came to the house of the woman who had purchased it from Africa, and so they had actual pictures. I don't know what I did with those pictures. I had them for a long time, but I've had several computers. And the woman who owned the mask had all these problems in her house where her bathroom would start flushing in the middle of the night. She'd hear sounds of drums, all kinds of weird things. And she just got it as a collector's piece, but it's clear that this was an old mask and it had been used in rituals. And they finally got a hold of a specialist in Sweden who got the mask. He said it was around 200 years old.
Holy
so,
cow.
But the woman kept, she finally ended up putting the mask out in that shed because she couldn't handle all the activity that was going on in her house. And so somebody told her, just get rid of it on eBay, which there's a lot of junk that you probably shouldn't get on eBay. Mm-hmm. And we got it. We got that mask. It was really fun getting it. And Linus, Linus actually came over to check out the mask. But my youngest dog would always back out of the room. He couldn't stand to be in the same room with that mask.
Really?
Now, since I've been in home, the mask hasn't been out. And I never really
had
any.
I wouldn't take it out.
Huh?
Pardon? I wouldn't take it out.
I don't have any problems with it, but I could see like different, there was different expressions that I would get from the mask. Like there were times when it just seemed really happy, and then there were times it just seemed really, you know, but anybody could just say, oh, it's a mask, it's a face, it could be anything. But yeah, my littlest dog just could not handle him. My other dog would watch it and would react to it every once in a while, but never in a frightening or freaked out manner.
Mm-hmm.
And we did get a second mask from Africa, but as you can tell, masks that have been used, they have a oil trail along the inside,
mm-hmm,
where it's been against the person's face.
Oh, right.
And that mask is quite weathered. But the little one, he was kind of okay, and it sits in the living room because it's not the one that freaks him out the most, and we don't have any problems. I mean, that I know of, but very interesting how my dogs would react to that. So that's why I brought up the whole thing with animals, because they are incredible to watch when there's supernatural stuff going on.
Well, they will always tell you.
Yes, for
yeah.
Sure. All right, Brenda, are you done?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and
thank
I'll
you.
Hand the phone over to Megan.
Thanks, Polly.
Okay, Trevor, while we're waiting for her, have you ever connected with an ant? Yeah. Have you ever connected with an entity while on an investigation or anywhere else?
Connected, no. I've viewed them. I've seen them for sure, but I've never actually connected with them in a way that I know undoubtedly that we were communicating, something like that. Not at all, no.
No? Okay. Megan, are you on the line?
I am.
Okay, have you ever connected with an entity while on an investigation or anywhere else?
Not while on an investigation. I think maybe one time that I would consider connecting with an entity, pardon me, is
a time when I had, I guess, sort of done a seance with my mom. Not really. We were kind of just trying to get into a meditative state. But when we finished up, we didn't close it properly, and when we went to bed, and all of a sudden we could hear what sounded like a horn from a semi-truck, like, basically swirling through our house. We couldn't, like, as soon as you thought you knew where the sound was coming from, it moved. We were kind of, like, chasing this, like, really ridiculously loud hum all around our house, and I actually even asked the neighbors the next day if they'd heard anything like that, and they said no. So I think that we connected with something without trying to.
Interesting.
It was really weird.
For sure. All right, Lydia, your turn.
Well, you know, I was thinking we've only got a few, you know, we've only got about 15 minutes left. I could save this for Holly when we interview her someday. And
okay.
I think we could ask everybody if they have anything they want to add. We can end on that note. You want to do that?
That would be great if everybody would just kind of pop out what they'd like to say, give you a quick couple minutes.
Mm-hmm. Trevor, do you want to start?
Sure. I think that it's important that people sort of pay attention to what's around them, not just the world around them that they see every day, but they also use their other senses and try and get a feeling for what else might be there. Don't be closed-minded. Doesn't mean you have to step up and believe everything you hear or see or what have you, but I think it's important that you at least keep an open mind. And at some point you need to, if things look like they're outside of the ordinary, don't be afraid of it. That's my opinion. Go ahead and try and figure out what it is. A lot of times you won't be able to figure out what it is, but I think probably 95% of the time it'll turn out to be just a, you know, like a cat walking on the roof or who knows what. But it's very often easy to debunk. But those times that it's not, that's really what we're all looking for. But don't pass stupid stories. If they're not real, don't tell people things that, oh, I saw this or this, just so that you're part of the group or part of the team or whatever. Like, if you don't actually see it, don't make it up, because that actually makes our job way harder, too.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Trevor.
Okay, Michelle.
Yes.
Do you have anything you'd like to share with us?
When you are investigating, not everything that you see or you hear or even on your EVP recorders are actually spirits. A lot of the times we've been out on investigations, and even if I feel a spirit or I've connected with a spirit and we have told the client and they confer that it is one of their family members, doesn't necessarily mean somebody humming on location is actually a spirit. So you have to know your group members. You have to know what their voices sound like on an EVP recorder, because if you turn around and you hear something on there and it's one of your team members, well, then it has to be debunked.
Oh, for sure.
Thank you.
Robin.
Thank you.
Thanks. Oh.
Okay,
great
Robin
point.
Next?
Yep.
Hello?
Hey, Robin. You got anything you want to share with us?
Regarding...
anything you want to share.
Anything. Well, one of the things that I usually, when we take on two new team members here, I know that a lot of times that they get excited and they think that everything that happens is paranormal, or they want to believe that everything that's happening is paranormal. One of the things that I try and do is change their mindset, and I tell them that when they go into an investigation, they have to think that everything is not paranormal, and then if we cannot come up with an explanation, then we have something that we can go on. That's been one of the hardest things, to try and change the mindset of other investigators. You know, they hear a noise and right away it's paranormal, and to them.
and to try and change their mindset for them to go, well, no, it's not, let's find out what it is and debunk this. It's when we can't debunk it, then we can get excited.
Good. And possibly further investigate, right?
Pardon me?
And then possibly further investigate, right?
Exactly. You know, and that's the thing. When we're doing evidence review, you know, there's so many things that can come forward, and they're like, oh, I got this, and I got this, and I got this. And I can sit back and say, well, no, that's this, that's this, that's you, that's Megan, that's, you know. And I have to go by, and, you know, by the end of the time when we're done going through evidence review, sometimes we're left with absolutely nothing. And it's just changing your mindset. Instead of automatically thinking that it's paranormal, think of it as not being paranormal, finding out what it actually is, and if you can't do that, then you can go forward from there.
Excellent. Thank you. That's awesome. Okay, now let's talk to Megan for a minute.
Okay.
Megan. Hi.
Hi, Megan. You want to share anything with us?
Not really, I guess, just reiterating that when you are investigating, if you investigate for yourself, then you have to just be very critical of whatever so-called evidence that you find and just try your best to prove that it isn't what you are probably hoping that it is.
Well, I think that should be left up to you, the professionals.
Yeah, well, that's what we're here for. Give us a call.
We have our own little Ghostbuster team.
Yeah, and listen, folks, this is really what our show is about. It's about empowerment. And as you can hear from everything that they're saying, I mean, these are all competent people. They aren't just running in there and saying, oh, yeah, it's a ghost, this, that, or whatever. They're actually investigating from a scientific perspective. So they're professionals. This isn't a fly-by-night thing. These are people who, yeah, have other jobs and other aspects of their lives, but they've dedicated a portion of their time to help people feel empowered in their homes, understand what's going on around them. And I just think it's fabulous that somehow, even with all that, they took the time to come here on our show. I just adore you. And I do mean it, as I said in the chat room. I hope we can have you back in a couple of months. And hopefully Shay will be able to join us as well.
Yeah. All right, and last but not least, I guess it's time to talk to Holly.
I'm here.
All right, Holly, what would you like to share with us?
Well, I would like to share that being part of a paranormal group, anybody can do it, but it takes a team of really dedicated people who work well together and mesh well together to find answers and come up with more questions and ask the hard stuff. If anybody is going to start a team of their own, I would really like to encourage you all, don't be afraid to ask tough questions. If you're not going to ask the hard questions, why are you doing it? For example, a question, let's say you're out investigating Frank's slide, which we have done. That's out in the Crow's Nest Pass. Huge tragedy there. A hard question is something like, how did you feel when you realized that you were dying? How did that feel for you? Some people would say that that's incredibly disrespectful. But it's not. Isn't that why we're out there?
Yeah.
To ask those questions? Isn't that why we do what we do? Because we want to know. We're not out there just to goof around and I mean, this is not a hobby. This is very serious work. And anybody, any team out there that's working as hard as we work and as hard as they want to work knows you've got to ask the hard stuff. So don't be afraid to do that.
Great.
And that's what
awesome.
I have to say about that.
Thank you, Holly. And thank you all
for joining us tonight. It's been a remarkable show, and I'm sure, I know I've learned a lot, and I'm sure our listeners are learning a lot as well.
Yeah, and be sure to direct your friends and family to this interview. They can hear it on the archives, and we'll send out a what am I trying to say, Nina?
I'm sending out some healing. Go ahead.
Healing energy for Shay?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. I'm sure
Definitely.
He'll really appreciate that.
We'll also send out a link so people can direct, you know, you can direct your possible clients, that type of thing, you know, to the
yes.
link and hear this interview.
Okay.
You guys have been awesome.
Thank you so much for having us.
I am certainly grateful for you guys and the work that you do.
Well, thank you. We work very
mm-hmm.
hard. And
I know you
okay,
do.
I'd just like to say to Supernatural Radio, who has entered the chat, they're saying so many people think it's fun and games. It's not. That is so true, and I think it's very important for people listening who don't have a team or who just want to start a team. This is not a game. There are very real entities out there. Some of them are very nasty. Some of them can hurt you. You need to be very careful, and you need to do your research before you decide to just jump into the fray, because you can get hurt. It's not
Thank you.
Hang around with. So I want to say thank you to Supernatural Radio for pointing that out, because people need to understand that. We haven't encountered that as a team yet, but I personally have, and it is not fun.
I personally have too, Holly, so I know it isn't fun.
Yeah, so I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, let's all be honorable to the living and the non-living. Let's all be
exactly.
as honorable as and.
I think go forward with love, I think, is where you need to go, always with love in your heart and in your head.
Yes.
And then the respect will naturally follow.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, look at it this way. If you're dead and somebody's talking to you, are you going to be more likely to respond to somebody who says, I don't mean you any harm, I just want to understand? Or are you going to respond to somebody who is taunting you and making fun of you and, come on, what do you think you're doing? You got nothing, and things like that, and being disrespectful. Who are you going to want to respond to?
Exactly.
Right?
Yep.
And
yep.
how might you respond? So there,
exactly.
you know, there's a lot to be said about that, which actually, you know, makes me think that there's a few other shows that we can do with you all and the
mm-hmm.
paranormal investigation team on, a little more in depth with things like that. So maybe
as
you,
long as you're willing to come on again,
anytime.
Hey. Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, we'd be happy to come back anytime.
Excellent. So are we going to wrap this up, you guys? I think we only have a few more minutes.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah, it looks like we're probably going to wrap this up, folks. And I know this isn't our traditional show, but if you would like to stay for the meditation, then you're most welcome. We will. We're making that part of our show, so... We won't deny you.
And while the meditation is on, I am always sending Reiki out. So
thank
you. If you need anything as far as the Reiki goes, please get a hold of me, and I will make sure that I direct some special energy your way. You can get a hold of me either through this network or on Facebook. So anything time you need any healing or anything else, just get a hold of me, and I'll send you some special Reiki.
Thank you, Nina.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, are we ready? And we will just, at the very end, we'll just say our goodbyes. Usually we say namaste or om or something like that. So
okay.
Go ahead.
And I'm going
go
to
ahead.
Hang up now.
Okay. All right, Holly. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
You want to start that?
Are you trying?
Yeah,
somebody
you need to push the button.
We're all three sitting here waiting. What's going on? Okay, here goes.
Now that you are relaxed, my voice and the nature sounds continue to take you deeper. You are on a brilliant and loving journey. Speaking the words, I am that, that I am. You are empowered to create the life of your highest good and joy. As you sleep each night, you see your dreams and aspirations. They safely meet you with joy and love. You happily accept and embrace them. Accept and see yourself healthy and healed, reflecting your chosen physical form. Accept and see yourself in your chosen financial position. See yourself accepting the goals you choose to manifest in your life. Your goals, dreams, and aspirations are completely in your control. Every day, you awake refreshed, energetic, and you accept the power to realize love, happiness, and the goals that serve you. You are love. You are brilliant. You are healthy. You are healed. You are secure. You speak these words to yourself daily, several times a day. I am that, that I am. I am that, that I am.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Good night, everyone.